All right. So for the last few weeks, we've been talking about abiding in Jesus, which is what Jesus calls us to do in John chapter 15, to abide in him. And as we said, that word abide in John chapter 15, it literally means to remain with or to make your home in. And when it comes to us abiding in Jesus, we automatically tend to think of prayer and, of course, reading the Bible. And rightly so, prayer is our way of talking to God. As Philippians chapter 4 says, it's making our requests known to God. It's how we draw near to God, which is what it says in James chapter 5. Also, it's the example that Jesus set for us in his relationship with the Father, which we're going to look at for a little bit today. And in Scripture, we are commanded to pray. And then we also believe that Scripture is the revealed Word of God. It's primarily how God speaks to us and reveals himself to us. And I think that prayer and reading the Bible, they, of course, work in synergy with one another in that we speak to God and then God speaks to us. However, as I've been saying, for many of us, we have this tendency to approach both prayer and the reading of God's word as just sort of this exercise in discipline. It's our religious duty, something required that we need to check off of a list of things to do. And we think that in checking things off the list, we somehow please God. So we sort of have this just get it done mentality when it comes to these vital aspects of our communion with God. Prayer becomes sort of this one-way communication where we just talk at God, but we rarely wait for him to speak to us. In John chapter 10, Jesus is teaching, and he likens himself to a shepherd and his disciples or his followers to his sheep. And in John chapter 10, verse 27, this is what Jesus says. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So according to Jesus, the primary mark of discipleship, of abiding in him, is simply listening and following. And in other words, followers of Jesus are defined by how they listen to his voice and then subsequently obey his words. But let's be honest, sometimes it can feel easier to spend our time in prayer talking rather than pausing to listen to what God might be saying to us. I know for me, it's easy just to sit down and to go through my laundry list of prayer requests as if I'm kind of giving God his marching orders for the day. But just like when we sit down and have a conversation with someone that we care about, listening is important, right? Listening takes time and it takes effort. It takes intentionality and focus. And that's extremely difficult for many of us, both in an interpersonal conversation, but also in our conversations with God, because we are so distracted. And as I've been saying for the last few weeks, there's so much that's competing for our attention on a daily basis. And if you're anything like me, staying focused is difficult. My mind's always racing. When I sit down to pray, you know, I'm also competing with all of the stresses that I have over all of my responsibilities, and I'm thinking about all the projects that I need to work on, or the people that I need to spend time with, or I'm just thinking about my concerns for my family and my concerns for the church, and then silly things like, am I getting enough exercise, or what am I going to eat later? Anybody been there while you're praying? Your mind just tends to wander. It's like there's so many distractions and so much noise. And I don't know about you, but when I'm trying to listen to someone and there's a ton of noise and distraction, I'm really not hearing anything but the peripheral noise around me. And I think this is why many of us, we struggle to really hear God speaking to us. In 1 Kings 19, and I'm just going to give you a bunch of different passages of scripture today, and you can write them down and look them up later, but they should be on the screen below me. But in 1 Kings 19, we see the prophet Elijah, and he's just worn out and he's weary. And I want to encourage you to go and read 1 Kings chapter 18 and 19. Just one chapter earlier in 1 Kings 18, we see Elijah confront King Ahab over his sinfulness and for leading the nation into idolatry, him and his wife Jezebel. And he confronts him, this king, which has to be a stressful situation, right? Confronting a king over his sinfulness, because this king could have you in prison, he could have you put to death. And then right after he confronts the king, we see this epic showdown, and I don't have time to go into all of it, between Elijah, the prophet of the one true God, and the 450 prophets of the false god Baal. There's this showdown where they both call on their god to show up, and of course, God shows up. And then all of these prophets of Baal are put to death. Well, this angers Ahab's wife Jezebel, and she basically puts a hit out on Elijah. And it's just a lot. You go from confronting the king in that stressful situation to this showdown with, think about it, 450 prophets of this false god Baal. And then somebody wants to have you killed. And so when we come to 1 Kings 19, we see Elijah, he's just done, right? It's a lot that he's been dealing with. He's just weary and he's worn out. And we see this beautiful moment where the Lord ministers to him, and then the Lord leads him to Mount Horeb and tells him to go to this cave in Mount Horeb. And I just want to read you what it says in 1 Kings 19, verses 11 and 12. This is what it says. Listen to this. He goes to Mount Horeb, and he's in this cave. And in verse 11, it says, "And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord," which has to be frightening, right? "But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper, a still small voice," as it says in the King James Version. So again, Elijah's standing on this cave, and you got to imagine this moment, right, where this wind's tearing rocks apart, and there's an earthquake, and then there's this fire, and I don't even know where the fire comes from, but that's got to be pretty crazy, right? But it says in the midst of all of that that's going on around Elijah, that God speaks to Elijah in this still small voice. He speaks to him in a gentle whisper. Now listen, God can certainly speak to us in a litany of ways, primarily as we're going to be talking about through the scripture, through his word, but also through other people, through things like sermons and songs and books and all sorts of ways. And one of the ways that I think God speaks to us a lot, just as a side note, is through repetition. Some of you have sat and you've heard a sermon or a message preached, right? And then later on you somewhere else, you see that same passage of scripture, or one of those same principles show up, and then somebody mentions something similar. God, sometimes he continues to put stuff before us in order to get our attention. So we have to pay attention to moments like that. But beyond that, what if he chooses to speak to us as he did to Elijah in this still small voice, in this whisper? Again, listen, there's so much noise in our lives, so many things competing for our attention. But as I said a couple of weeks ago, I don't think the primary issue is how busy we are, right? And how hectic our schedules are, or I don't think the primary issue is technology, although these are all symptoms, right? Or any of the things that consume our days. The primary issue, as I said a couple of weeks ago, is our hearts, right? It's about inward affections and desires, our hearts choosing what to be devoted to, what we create margin for in our lives. So I want you to hear this. Listening to God is an attitude of the heart. So with that being said, what does it look like to achieve that attitude? Well, I think primarily, listen, we need to create margin in our lives for quiet, and we need to learn to be comfortable with silence. Now, I'm currently learning how to do this. I can't say that I'm an expert at this, right? Because it's not easy, right? I struggle with silence. If I'm hanging out with someone and it's quiet, I get uncomfortable and I start to feel the need to fill the silence. And so if you know me, you know this is true. I talk or I'm quick to make a joke, right? Because I don't like that uncomfortable silence. And for many of us, silence is just difficult, right? It takes time to release our thoughts and to release our troubles and all of the things going on and simply be present with God. Now in Luke chapter 10, and I referenced this a couple of weeks ago as well, we see Jesus visit the home of two sisters named Mary and Martha. And in this passage, we see Martha, she wants just everything to be just right. And so she's hurrying and hustling around the house. She's cooking and she's cleaning. And her sister Mary, she's just sitting at Jesus's feet and she's spending time with him. And in Luke chapter 10, verses 40 and 42, listen to this. Starting in verse 40, it says, "But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to Jesus and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion.'" She's chosen that which is necessary, which will not be taken away from her. Okay, so according to Jesus, just being with him, remaining with him, there's that same kind of idea of abiding with Jesus, remaining with him, listening to him, which is what Mary was doing, was the necessary thing. It was the good thing. Now listen, hospitality is good, serving is good, working hard is good. Jesus embodies all of these things, but the thing that should fuel those things is simply spending time in his presence, listening to his words. It says Martha was distracted. She was anxious and troubled about many things. And I think that describes many of our lives, right? We are distracted all of the time. We're anxious and troubled about so many different things. Life is hard and time is short. And so we hustle around, right? We strive and we wrestle and we push just to keep up with all of the things that are on our plate. So much so that even serving the Lord and spending time with the Lord at times feels like a chore. It's something that we become anxious about. It's not something that we do because we're full of peace and joy, right? Psalm 46, verse 10, and I've been really meditating on this passage for the past week. In Psalm 46, 10, the Lord says this. He says, "Be still and know that I am God." That phrase, "be still," in the original Hebrew, it literally means to cease striving, to relax, to be quiet, to quit fighting, to surrender yourself, right? We spend all of this time hustling around, striving for things, worrying and anxious about many things. And listen, being still or being quiet, it's not just about us canceling out the external noises. Do you understand? I certainly think that we need to figure out how to get alone and get quiet, which is what we're going to see in just a second. But it's also about learning to quiet our hearts and to rest in his presence, to acknowledge all that we're anxious about and all that we're troubled about, and just lay that stuff down at his feet, knowing that he cares for us, that he provides for us, to just rest in his presence, to rest in the knowledge that he is God and that he fights for you on a daily basis. And that's what God wants, that he wants what's best for us. And what's best for us, according to Jesus in Luke chapter 10, is simply being with him, just resting in his presence, resting in the knowledge that he is God and we are not. So if the goal of discipleship is to be like Jesus, right? To abide in him, to become like him, then we have to do the things that Jesus did, right? And when we think about being like Jesus, we tend to think of the big things, right? The way he spoke and the way he shared truth with others and the way he poured out his grace on others, the way he treated others, the way he loved and the way he served. And we think about his sacrifice and we think about the miracles and all of these things. So things like the idea that Jesus regularly retreated to a quiet and solitary space to spend time with the Father, it often gets lost on us. We see in Mark chapter 1, Jesus is in Capernaum and he spends all day from morning to what had to have been late at night, right? Teaching and casting out demons, healing and ministering to the needs of others. And then in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, after he does all of that, it says this. Listen, it says, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, a solitary, quiet, secluded place, and there he prayed." Okay, so that's the example that we have to follow, is that Jesus went to this quiet, solitary place where he had this conversation with the Father. In John chapter 5, verse 30, Jesus says that he does nothing without first listening to the Father. His prayer life, that time simply resting in the Father's presence, listening to his voice, was the fuel that sustained his ministry. It's what carried him throughout the day, which is why he made it of first importance in the day. All of those big things that Jesus did that we seek to imitate were preceded by this quiet time with the Father, listening to his voice. So likewise, we have to create margin in our lives to be still and be quiet before the Father. Again, getting alone with God in a quiet place, but also learning how to quiet our hearts and all of the troubles that are in our hearts. And then, as I said before, God can speak to us through many different avenues. Most assuredly, though, he speaks to us through his word. Now, we have to understand that the Bible is one of our greatest gifts as followers of Jesus. It's the very word of God. It's how we know God. It's how we know the character and the nature of God. It's how we know Jesus. And so, listen to me, it's not simply a textbook on how to live a better life or a book of rules or a history book, although it is that as well, that we just simply read for academic purposes. You guys have heard me quote Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 for the last several weeks now, but we have to understand it, right? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says this. It says, "The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." So practically speaking, I think for many of us, reading God's word has become a primarily academic exercise, like reading a school book, right? Again, it's an exercise in discipline. So when we approach God's word, we often cram and we study and we take it in these big chunks and we strive to search for the hidden meaning. And this can feel overwhelming at times to do all of this, like studying for an exam and not feeling prepared, if you've ever been there, right? Now, listen, I think reading the Bible through, like if you're doing like reading through the Bible chronologically for through the year, or doing a Bible reading in a year or whatever, or reading 3 and 4 chapters at a time, searching all of the meaning for all of the original words in the Greek and the Hebrew, that's all great. It's good. It's necessary. But listen, more important than that, and I want you to hear me, okay, is learning to sit in the word, right? To meditate on it or to chew on it. I want you to hear this. In Psalm chapter 1, verse 2, it says this. It says, "Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, in the word of God. and on his law he meditates day and night. And then in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, it says, the book of the law, which is the word of God, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. And then I love this in Psalm 119, verse 103, the psalmist says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I love that, right? Your words are like honey in my mouth. Again, it's this picture of savoring the word of God, meditating on it, asking God to speak to you. We don't just read his word, okay, because it's living and active, right? His word reads us, and it exposes, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, our thoughts and desires, the intentions of our hearts. So when we approach God's word, we have to come expectant that God desires to speak to us and reveal himself to us through his word, knowing that he has something to say to you that maybe he's never said to you before, even if you've read a particular passage of scripture 100 times before. But listen, it's not about quantity. Again, all of those deep dives and reading plans and study plans, they're all great, but it's not about quantity, right? It's about quality when it comes to our time in God's word. It's about our desire to receive from God and coming expectantly and in faith. It's about seeking a personal encounter with Jesus. So listen, if we're going to abide in him, his words have to abide in us, as Jesus says in John chapter 15. So we have to learn to create margin in our lives for time to get alone with the Lord and pray, and most importantly, listen for his voice. And when we learn to listen and discern the voice of God, quiet time no longer becomes a chore to us or something that we just have to get done. Instead, it becomes the very fuel that sustains us, as it did Jesus. The more we discern his voice, the more our eyes are open to see him at work in the world around us, the more peace we feel, the less anxious and troubled we are, the more satisfied we become. And so I just want to leave you with this, because I love this passage. It's in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 3. And I really believe that God wants to speak to you through this passage. And I'll just close in prayer after this. But I want you to hear this, okay? Listen to this. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Come, everyone who thirsts. Are you thirsty for more? Like, in your relationship with God, do you hunger and thirst for more of him? Like, you feel like you're trying to turn all of these parts of the machine, but it always just kind of sputters about, and you just want more. Like, you want to hear the voice of God. You want to see God show up and do these miraculous things, right? It says, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come by wine and milk without money and without price. It's all free, right? A product of his grace. Listen to this, verse 2. Why do you spend? I want you to think of that word spend. Underline it, circle it, whatever. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? And your labor, I want you to think about that word labor, for that which does not satisfy. He's not just talking about money here, okay? Again, we're constantly striving and wrestling and pushing and fighting our way through this life. He says, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, that your soul may live, that you'll find life, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, immovable, sure love that I promised to David. We have to learn to listen to the Lord, and we will be blessed by Him in our listening. Let's pray. Father God, You are so good. God, and we are so grateful for who You are. And we are grateful for Your love for us. God, we are so grateful for the grace and the mercy that You purchased for us through the sacrifice of Your Son Jesus on the cross at Calvary. God, we thank You for salvation. God, we thank You that through Jesus, we have the right to boldly approach Your throne of grace with confidence. God, we thank You for the promise of Your presence, Your Holy Spirit. God, we thank You that You call us to make our requests known to You, to talk to You, and that You promise that You'll speak to us. God, we're grateful for Your word. God, for revealing Yourself to us. God, may we be a people who learn how to slow our lives down, to not just talk at You, but to listen to Your voice and to do what it is that You're leading us to do. God, teach us to abide in You. Teach us to discern Your voice in the midst of all the noise that surrounds us, God, to be satisfied, as Your word says, in Your presence. God, again, we thank You so much for Your love. Help us, Father, to grow in this area of our lives. It's in Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen.